This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 29th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Tom Rogers reports from China, where he visited with a man from Urbana who went overseas to hone his craft. And AM 580's Mike Sola has a look at the forecast for the region. But first, a look at today's news. A plea hearing is scheduled today for a trucker accused of causing a crash along Interstate 69 in Indiana that killed five people from Taylor University. 38-year-old Robert Spencer of Canton Township, Michigan, earlier pleaded not guilty to five counts of reckless homicide and four counts of criminal recklessness in the April 2006 crash. Typically, at such hearings, the judge will ask the defendant whether he wishes to change his plea willingly and waive his right to a trial. The case gained national attention when two of the victims' identities were accidentally switched. Four Taylor University students and a staff member died in the crash when their van collided with a semi-trailer on Interstate 69 as they were headed to Taylor's Upland campus. Illinois Democrats continue to be sharply divided over the state budget despite a meeting Monday between the governor and House members. Governor Rod Blagojevich spent more than 2.5 hours talking with House Democrats. Afterward, several legislators said people are more frustrated than ever. Blagojevich has proposed a major budget increase for schools and health care. He wanted to pay for it with $8.6 billion in new business taxes. But lawmakers rejected most of the taxes. Now the question is whether Blagojevich will reduce spending or lawmakers will agree to a different revenue source. Blagojevich says he's sticking with his spending demands, at least for now. He's telling House Democrats to come up with their own plan if they don't like his. Blagojevich and his Senate allies are talking about coming up with the money through gambling expansion and business taxes. It's unlikely the Illinois legislature will give gay couples the right to enter into civil unions. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
With the legislative session scheduled to end in a matter of days, lawmakers have a lot on their minds, like crafting a new state budget and dealing with the price of electricity. So even supporters of a proposal of a plan that would allow civil unions for gay couples say they doubt their cause will be considered. That's despite an attempt to make the measure more acceptable to opponents. Democratic Representative Greg Harris of Chicago.
This is not a sham for marriage. It is not marriage. It is a civil union, which is a legal contract between two individuals.
Harris says civil unions merely give same-sex couples the option of entering into a contractual agreement, which grants them the obligations and protections afforded to spouses, such as the ability to visit a partner who's hospitalized. He says he'll continue to explain that to other legislators and that he'll attempt to try again in the future. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois is home to the third largest system of crime laboratories in the world, but lawmakers want to know why some evidence is instead being tested in other states. Krista Kukowski reports.
In 2005, a committee was established to make recommendations about the quality of work being done in Illinois crime labs. But since then, Democratic Representative Jack Franks says mistakes have been made in labs, both in-state and elsewhere. Often that work involves DNA evidence crucial in criminal trials. He says there is no oversight to prevent mistakes from occurring. He is the sponsor of a resolution that would require the Auditor General to conduct a review of the work being done.
When we are not doing the testing here, when it's not done correctly, when it's not stuck here in the state, we don't have that power. And as a result, the victims' families are being victimized again. And people who should be spending more time in jail are not. And that has to stop.
Franks says the audit will also look at why errors are happening and if procedures are appropriate. The Illinois State Police say tests are done out of state to prevent backlogs from occurring. And if a mistake is discovered, contracts at other labs are canceled. I'm Krista Kukowski.
A measure that bans real-life hunting by remote control over the internet in Illinois is headed to the governor's desk. If signed into law by Governor Blagojevich, the legislation that passed the General Assembly last week would preemptively outlaw the practice also known as cyber hunting. Technology makes it possible for people to view their real-life prey over a webcam and use their computer mouses to direct a rifle and fire a shot remotely to kill animals. The National Humane Society says more than 30 states have barred the practice, some have described as pay-per-view slaughter. Former President Bill Clinton is scheduled to give the commencement address at Knox College in Galesburg on Saturday. The liberal arts college of about 1,350 students has attracted other big-name graduation speakers in the past. Last year, comedian Stephen Colbert gave the commencement address to the school's 250 graduates. In 2005, Illinois Senator Barack Obama spoke at the ceremony. Clinton will speak at 10:30 a.m. and receive an honorary degree from the school. He's spoken at several college graduation ceremonies this year. That includes Middlebury College in Vermont, the University of New Hampshire, and University of Michigan. Knox does not pay fees to its graduation speakers. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Each day, China opens itself to thousands of visitors, some on business, others on vacation. Still others come to China because there's no better place to learn their careers. AM 580's Tom Rogers is in China, and last week he traveled into the interior to visit an Urbana man who's come to hone his craft.
We start Dimitri Daniel's story back in Urbana, where he dons his gym clothes and instructs students at the Precious Sword Shaolin Martial Arts Academy. Today hasn't been a good training day, and so Dimitri's students are outside the storefront doing forms in succession. It's the kung fu equivalent of wind sprints. Dimitri is quiet and reserved, but firm.
That would be wrong. I said each individual movement. Start over.
His students call Dimitri a term of respect, shufu, or teacher. They're of every race and nearly every age. Lucy Wong brings her young sons to practice, and together the family's learning.
I always wanted to have a chance to learn it, learn this art. And when he get to five, when my son get about age five, I decided to take him, just to learn some, just to be physically active and also learn discipline.
But Shifu has to learn too, to make sure the spinning, kicking, thrusting, and other moves that make up Kung Fu are proper. For that, Dimitri goes back to the source, Shaolin Temple.
It's like I'm home almost, it seems. I've spent my whole life doing martial arts, and it's kind of nice to kind of be like in a place where you feel extremely comfortable outside of your own country.
His school is actually a few miles away from the temple in the city of Dengfeng in Henan province. Though it doesn't show up on many maps, it has about 60,000 people. Many, perhaps most of them, are students, training at more than 80 academies. And for a couple of short weeks this year, Dimitri Daniels converts from teacher to student. Here, Dimitri's known as Huang Weijie, a name his teacher gave him. Shida Cheng is a Buddhist monk who's been teaching Dimitri Kung Fu since Dimitri's early childhood, when he accompanied his father, a U of I physics professor, to Beijing.
He had a friend that was Chinese that was from Dengfeng, and he knew that I always liked watching martial arts movies. So he's like, well, here's your chance. You're going to go to China. You should send your son off to a school in Dengfeng near the temple.
Dimitri's teacher, Shida Cheng, is out of town at this moment, training students in Italy. And the building has alternate bouts of water shutoffs and water leaks. Western comfort standards don't exist for people who travel to Dengfeng for the true kung fu experience. The training is rigorous, even for foreign students who aren't used to the extremely strict discipline meted out to the Chinese enrollees. But Peter Hunter didn't save up to travel thousands of miles from London to go only halfway.
I originally wanted to be here for 6 months, but I've pulled a muscle in my leg, so unfortunately I'm only doing three. But I quit my job, spent some money, and yes, I'm obviously committed, so I kind of grin and bear all the aches and pains and just get on with it, because this is what I really wanted to do.
Americans of a certain age may hear the words kung fu and think of the David Carradine TV drama from the 70s. Every week, Kane, the half-Chinese Wild West drifter, would harken back to his younger days back in China and the lessons of his master Po.
The scroll has been returned.
But your innocence, grasshopper, how shall that be returned?
But as with most dramas, there are pieces of the truth, but not the whole truth. Today's truth in Deng Feng is that the monks and the Chinese government realized there's money to be made off Shaolin training. Matthew Pauli left college in the U.S. in the 90s to train at the temple itself, and he wrote a book called American Shaolin about his adventure.
In Kung Fu, you have to wait outside the temple and for 2 or 3 months, and eventually the abbot lets you in, and he offers you some tea, and you say, "No, master, you drink first," and that shows you have politeness, and that's how you get to be a member of the temple. Well, in modern China, all you need is your dad's American Express card.
Walking down the streets of Deng Feng, Dimitri and I see lots of neon.
It's almost like going to a small Las Vegas. No, it wasn't like this before.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's good to bring more people towards the Shaolin and things, but I think it's also bad in the sense that it kind of clouds the whole idea of Shaolin and how people think that it's now just a money thing instead of just being an actual culture and a way of life.
The founder of one of the bigger schools has a brighter outlook. Shi Diyuan is part of the third generation of a family of monks trained at Shaolin. His office is spacious and comfortable with long sofas and a shrine to Buddha taking up an entire wall. He shows a professionally made DVD of his academy, aimed at expanding his school that's already at 1,000 students.
Although there are more and more students coming here to study, the spirit of Shaolin Temple will not be ruined or will not be destroyed. And further speaking, it will be brighter and brighter and will be more profound.
Even the area around the temple itself is designed for tourism now. But once we're inside Shaolin Temple, Dimitri still feels at home.
When I first came, I was just remembering the huge gate. I remember thinking, wow, this is like, I'm going to not go back to America. I'm just going to stay and be a monk for the rest of my life.
Dimitri hopes that someday his teacher, Shi Decheng, will make him a disciple, not a full-fledged monk, but a teacher entrusted with more responsibilities. Under Buddhist guidelines, that would also keep him free to eat meat and have a girlfriend. And on this day at Shaolin Temple, Dimitri had a chance encounter with one of his heroes.
I'm happy. That was Shi Diyang. He is like, he's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome. He, besides my teacher Shi Decheng, I've always wanted to learn from Shi Diyang, but he's my Bruce Lee. Yeah, Shi Diyang. Yeah, so I'm extremely happy that I got to meet him and take a picture with him.
Dimitri Daniels returns to Urbana in a little more than a week to share his newfound skills with his students, to become a teacher again. But for now, he's in his element at Shaolin, and that's enough awesomeness for him. In China, I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Sun.
Online, you can hear a bit about what it's like to be an American and an African-American in the interior of China. Hear that story at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu/news. You can also read about the University of Illinois journalism students Tom Rogers is accompanying in China. Now AM 580 forecaster Mike Sola has a look at the forecast.
We're looking for that high of 87 with a wind out of the southeast at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Partly cloudy with a low of 62 tonight, the wind out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly to mostly cloudy, breezy, still warm, the high 86, the wind out of the south at 12 to 18 miles per hour. And then we go with Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday, looking for mostly cloudy skies, showers, possibly some thunderstorms. Wednesday night's low 64, Thursday's high 84, Thursday night's low again 64, and then a high on Friday of 83 degrees. The Illinois and Indiana forecast, Indiana, eastern Illinois today, mostly sunny early, then partly sunny, a few isolated thunderstorms possible. The rest of Illinois, partly sunny with a few thunderstorms and highs between 84 in western Illinois to near 90 in southern Indiana. For tonight, western Illinois, mostly cloudy, a few showers and isolated thunderstorms possible. Again, that cold front will be approaching, still to the west of the Mississippi River, could trigger some action in western Illinois. The rest of the two-state area, partly clear to partly cloudy tonight, and lows between 60 and 65 degrees. For tomorrow, Wednesday, western and portions of central Illinois, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Eastern Illinois and Indiana, partly sunny tomorrow. Highs will range from near 80 in western Illinois, still to around 90 degrees in eastern Indiana.
This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.